From Lehman College in the Bronx, this is the Science for You series. I am Tanisha Morris. Will we have enough fresh water for the future? While scientists debate theories about global warming, many agree that the Earth is warming up. Now, some believe that in a few years, our Earth will be dehydrated too. Glaciers around the world are melting, and rivers are disappearing. In this edition of Science for You, Lehman's environmental science professor Harry K. Pant discusses how global warming might threaten the quality and quantity of the world's water supply.
There is an overwhelming scientific consensus that the Earth is warming up. What does this mean? Can you talk about global warming for those that don't know?
Global warming is basically rising the global temperature. Greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide, including the chlorofluorocarbon, and those is the increase in the global temperature, which is already, they say, about a half a degree or so increase over the last century. There are skeptic talks about the, well, it's a natural process. We have seen the glaciation and deglaciation in the past means warming and cooling of the Earth. But that happened over thousands of years, even a hundred thousands difference, means that was the ecosystem had the time to adapt to it. But the way it's happening now, it's pretty fast. Within a decade or even a hundred years, we're seeing the quite a bit of temperature rise. So what that's gonna do is it doesn't give the time for the species, or for that matter ecosystems, to adapt to it, and then it could cause the collapse of the ecosystems because it doesn't have enough time to adjust to the changes in the temperature.
It's been said sarcastically that first world countries owe third world countries like a climate debt. How are third world countries being affected by this climate change in comparisons to first world countries like America?
The third world countries are also affected by the climate change. If you see the global rise in sea level because of the melting of the glaciers causing the rising in sea level, and some of the developing countries, poor countries which have a coastal area, they are basically submerged in some parts. You probably heard the some of those tiny islands in the Caribbean, or for that matter, there is a country named Maldives in Indian Ocean side that might disappear. It's just a few feet above the sea level. And also you see the chaotic climatic patterns, basically chaotic weather around the world, means you may find some places increasing rainfall because of the flooding and things like that, or landslides for that matter, that creates an unstable environment, which is a breeding ground for the disease-causing vectors, right? So then that would cause a health problem in those countries. Unlike the developed countries, the developing countries cannot fund those or cannot manage that kind of problem.
You mentioned that global warming makes glaciers smaller and they're melting. What will happen to communities that are relying on these sources for fresh water?
In many parts of the world, including the South America, you go to Asian country like Himalayas, right? There are all snow-capped mountains that fits the river permanently, basically, and that water is that the river water is basically the water supply for the people living around those parts of the world for the agricultural productivity as well as for the drinking water purposes. So once the glaciers will melt, including other parts of the world, when you find the glaciers are melting, so you may find an increase in the water supply for a short term, but over a long term, what's going to happen is that you are running out of ice, which feeds the river, basically. So they will have no water supply for the drinking purpose. At the same time, you would not have a water for the irrigation purposes.
What are some things that we're doing that's having a negative impact on the environment?
We heavily rely on the groundwater. If there is a recharge of the groundwater, means the recharge is higher than the amount taken out, then it would be okay. But in many parts of the world, including here in the United States, we are basically mining the groundwater, and we have a shifting climatic pattern, so that causes the the chaotic weather, or for that matter, the climatic patterns. Even if you get the increase in rain in some parts of the world, it could cause an increase in the rainfall. So, but that water would go, because it would come in a strong rainfall, or like a hurricane or cyclone for that matter, or typhoon in where you are in the different parts of the world. They call with the different names, right? So that will take, that will bring all the water, but that will come and go. So to accumulate or to recharge the groundwater, it has to be in a, over a long period of time, so that if the ground will saturate slowly, it percolates through, it will recharge the ground. But it would not happen if it's the storm type of weather. And in many parts of the world, we've already seen the drought-stricken area. Look at the African regions. So as I said, the western part of the United States are also getting less rain. So what you find is the drought. So once you have a drought, then you see the soil quality as well as the quantity of water going down. You can talk about the New York City. You might think it's an increase in temperature would cause a milder winter and then the drier summer, right? So when you have a drier summer, what's going to happen is the water evaporation would be higher. So you will lose the water, but that water would go somewhere else. And when it comes, let's say you get an increase in rainfall. But as long as you don't have to secure that rainwater and then use it later, what's going to happen, that water will come and go, so your water supply for the city would be less. Not unless we have a system to secure or to basically collect the rainwater and use it as we need it, you would see tremendous, tremendous effect.
Thank you so much, Professor Pant, for joining us in the Science for You podcast.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.